We do want to greet you this morning in the name of our Savior, the one who is the great shepherd of the sheep, the one who gives us such a good example of being a shepherd. Brother Paul shared, I would say, more of a message of warning, taking heed, and it's good for me to hear that, and I think for all of us, we do have an enemy, whether we're in the ministry or not, that is out to destroy the work of God, and he wants to damn your soul and mine. When I go through the ordination or help at ordinations, I suppose there's a sense where we go through the interviews, we hear messages, give messages. There's a sense of soul searching, a realization of our own shortcomings. And I suppose, especially the message that was assigned to me here, it was very good for me to, again, think of the responsibility of a shepherd and to think about what the heart of a shepherd should be. I have a number of points here this morning that I would like to touch on as we think of the heart of a shepherd. And I would like to, this morning, point us to the chief shepherd, the great shepherd, the good shepherd, and draw lessons from his life, his ministry here on earth, and his continuing ministry. And what he does perfectly, we need to strive to follow in those steps, and we recognize that we come short many times. I mentioned the other evening that I think we in the West here in North America, don't really understand the picture that the Bible portrays in various places of the shepherd and the sheep. And I'd like for you, for just a little bit here, to do a little imagining. And in your mind's eye, picture a shepherd going before a little band of sheep. And in his one hand he has a staff, in the other hand a rod. He is leading through a barren and a dangerous country. There are boulders, there are rocks. The path leads by a precipice. But he leads on ahead of his sheep. He has been this way before. He keeps a watchful eye upon his flock and about him. He's watching for the lion, the bear, the wolf, that may be lurking in the bushes or behind the boulders. He watches the sheep. He's concerned. He's concerned that the sheep make it safely to where they are going. And so he is watching the sheep. He is concerned that they do not stray. And so as he sees the sheep be distracted and leaves the path, he calls the sheep's name. He knows the sheep. And he calls the sheep back, and with his staff he guides the sheep back to safety. The sheep know the voice of the shepherd. And they find security in that because they know that the shepherd has only the best at heart for them. The shepherd is watching for the lambs. And he knows their foolishness. And he knows how quickly they could, or I should say their immaturity, and he knows how quickly they could fall over the precipice. He knows that they get tired. He knows they can get discouraged. And so he picks the lamb up and carries it in his arms. The path descends down into the valley where the green pastures are. The stream flows gently. And as the sheep graze and are satisfied, drink of the cool water, the shepherd is alert and he's watching. He's looking for any that are diseased, any that have a limp, any that have the scab. And when he sees one, he draws it to himself and applies the oil, the healing. He loves the flock. And he wants what is best for the flock, for each sheep, for the lambs. The sheep are not his own, but have been entrusted to his care by the chief shepherd. He understands at what great cost the chief shepherd has purchased the sheep, and he wants to lead the sheep back to the fold and to the chief shepherd, conscious of the fact that he will need to give account for the care of the flock. Leave that as more the picture that we have in the scriptures of the shepherd and his sheep. Not the electric fence, not the four-wheelers that drive the sheep, but he goes before them. I thought this morning to read a few scriptures. First of all, the shepherd's Psalm 23. I believe I'll just take time to read that. And as you read with me and follow along here, that you can catch a glimpse of the heart of the shepherd. And I think it's touching. This psalm was written by David, and we do not know if it was written when he was out there with the sheep as a young man, or whether this was years later as he contemplated the path that he had taken. Maybe he was getting toward the end of his life, and he thought back of his Heavenly Father, the shepherd's care in his life. We do not know, but it's a beautiful psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I'd like to turn then next to John chapter 10, Jesus' own words of the shepherd and the sheep. I believe I'll begin reading at verse 1, but I will refer back to the previous chapter. And it was some time ago that this thought, something I read that made me realize, if you go back to the context of this beautiful discourse here on the shepherd and the sheep. If you go back to the previous chapter, we have the blind man, the man that was born blind, and how Jesus met him and how Jesus restored his sight. And we see the religious leaders, those who should have been his shepherd, a shepherd to this man who had been born blind, this man who had suffered, we could say, so much through life. And yet how they questioned him out and how they didn't like what he said and the things he pointed out about them, that they would not know who this Jesus was. And it simply says that they cast him out. They excommunicated him. They put him away. Put him out of the synagogue. In the last part of that chapter, you have the Pharisees asking Jesus. Jesus had talked about those who were blind. Some of the Pharisees, they heard him and they said, "Are we blind also?" And Jesus goes on then in the chapter 10 and gives this beautiful picture of the shepherd. He says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is an hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Another sheep I have, which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice. There shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father." So this morning, as we think about the heart of the shepherd, I think we can see in this these passages that I read, we can catch a glimpse of the heart of the shepherd. And again, this morning, may this be an encouragement to each one here this morning, as you look at the heart of the great shepherd, the one who does and leads perfectly. Psalm 95:7 says, "For he is our God, we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand." And this message this morning maybe is more directed to one who's chosen to leadership, but I'd like for you all to appreciate being under the great shepherd. And may God give grace, wisdom, strength to those called to leadership to follow the example of the good shepherd. So I have about 10 different characteristics. I need to go rapidly over these here that describe the heart of the shepherd. first one I have here is a heart of love. We might say, well, that's pretty basic. We all know that we're supposed to love one another. But I think that's one of the things that's so outstanding is we look at the Good Shepherd and the love that he had for the sheep, for his followers, and for us today. And I go back to John chapter 13, and the night when Jesus was betrayed, he knew that one of his own would rise up against him and betray him to his enemies. And yet it says that having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. To me, that's so touching, is in that solemn time of keeping the Passover with his disciples and then how Judas went out into the night to do that treacherous act. And then Jesus instituted the communion service. But it says he loved his own which were in the world. He loved them unto the end. And so I'd like to just think for a little bit about the love of the great shepherd for the sheep. And we as under-shepherds can be encouraged in that. Yea, all of us should be encouraged to love as he loved. In John chapter 15, verse 9, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. And in verse 13, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And John writes in 1 John, he says, hereby we perceive the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. Greater love hath no man than this. Do we have that kind of a love for the sheep? And we'll talk about sacrificial love maybe a little bit more in detail. But just simply to think of this love, we cannot lead the sheep unless there is love. A love that that desires only what is good for the sheep. And that requires things at times that are not pleasant. The flesh does not always appreciate that. But Jesus was a perfect example of this, of a love for the sheep. Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. And you know the Apostle Paul, another great example to look at of a shepherd who had such a care and a love for the sheep. And he says, the more abundantly I love, the less I be loved. And I believe it's in that chapter there in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. He talks about all the things that he endured for the elect's sake and how he gave himself. And yet, even in that love that he was showing to the Corinthians or whoever it was, that he sensed that they weren't reciprocating with that love. They didn't appreciate what he was doing. But as under-shepherds, we need to continue to love. It motivates us to do what is best for the sheep. It's not always what's easiest. It takes work. It calls us to sacrifice, which is my next point. But I'd like to share a song. I'd like to share a song with you this morning, and because of this message, the title of the message, somehow this song will last the last couple of days. It was going through my mind. It's in the Life Song, number 201, but I'd like to read it. As we think of the love of the shepherd, dear to the heart of the shepherd, dear are the sheep of his fold. Dear is the love that he gives them. Dear than silver or gold, dear to the heart of the shepherd, dear are his other lost sheep. Over the mountains he follows, over the waters the deep. Out in the desert they wander, hungry and helpless and cold. Off to the rescue he hastens, bringing them back to the fold. Dear to the heart of the shepherd, dear are the lambs of his fold. Some from the pasture are straying, hungry and helpless and cold. See, the shepherd is seeking the lambs that are lost, bringing them in with rejoicing, saved at such infinite cost. Dear to the heart of the shepherd, dear are the 99. Dear are the sheep that have wandered out in the desert to pine. Hark, he is earnestly calling, tenderly pleading today. Will you not seek for my lost ones, off from my shelter astray? Green are the pastures inviting, sweeter the waters and still. Lord, we will answer thee gladly. Yes, blessed Master, we will. Make us thy true under shepherds. Give us a love that is deep. Send us out into the desert, seeking thy wandering sheep. Out in the desert they wander, hungry and helpless and cold. Off to the rescue we'll hasten, bringing them back to the fold. Do we have that kind of a love and a compassion? Are we willing to go? The heart of the shepherd is a heart of sacrifice. As we look at the sacrifice that the great shepherd, the good shepherd, made as he came down to this earth to seek you and I, to seek for the sheep that were lost. He came down from heaven. He left the glory of heaven. And you remember, as he was going about his earthly ministry, there was somebody that came to him and said, Lord, I'm willing to go with you wherever you go. And Jesus told him, the foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man doesn't have where to lay his head. And he was the creator of the universe, the sacrifice. John 15:13, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Sacrifice. Ephesians chapter 5. And verse 2. One and two. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. Sacrifice. In John 10 there he says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. You know, sacrifice does not come easy. Sacrifice requires us giving up something. And I think of the Apostle Paul there in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Again, he says, and I will very gladly spend and be spent. It's the heart of a shepherd. It's the heart of the shepherd that is willing to forgo sleep. He's willing to sacrifice time. He's willing to sacrifice the things that, yes, may be right and good and okay in themselves, but because of the sheep, he's willing to lay that down. He ever keeps before him what is for the good of the sheep. He is willing to say what is unpopular and thereby maybe sacrifice friendship. Maybe people won't appreciate him, but he does it for the good of the sheep. He's willing to sacrifice for the good of the sheep. The heart of the shepherd is an humble heart. Again, looking to the example of Christ, Philippians chapter 2. He encourages us there to humility. He said, "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father." We see the humility of Christ. And I believe it's in the book of Hebrews, it just comes to me now. It says that it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren. And it says there that he was not ashamed to call us brethren. He was willing to come down and identify. Sinless though he was willing to identify with this sinful race. Humility. Brother Paul talked about that and the snare that can be. But a shepherd's heart is humble. He's not so concerned about who gets the credit. He's not concerned about the glory and the praise of men. But again, the shepherd's heart is for his people. And I believe that humility calls him to, again, do the things that are unpopular simply because he knows it's for the good of the sheep. It's an humble heart. He's not looking for the praise of men. He's looking for the praise of God and for the good of his sheep. Paul's testimony in Acts 20 was, he said that he was serving the Lord with all humility. And I don't think he said that in a proud way at all. We see the opposite in Diotrephes there in 3 John, who loved to have the preeminence. And as a result of that, he caused chaos in the church, I believe, because he wouldn't receive those that came and he would cast them out of the church. He was a very proud man, loved to have the preeminence. That's not the heart of a shepherd. 1 Peter 5 speaks about that. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. An humble heart is the heart of a shepherd. Shepherd's heart is a heart of compassion. A heart of compassion. In Matthew chapter 9, again looking at the life of Christ, 9 verse 36, he says, "And when he saw the multitudes," speaking of Jesus, "when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then said he unto his disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." A heart of compassion. He enters into the needs and the struggles of the sheep. Again, those scriptures there in Hebrews, beautiful picture there where it says that in all things he behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and a faithful high priest. And it goes on to say there that he was tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And again, what the Good Shepherd does perfectly, I realize that we as men, we haven't experienced everything that everyone has experienced. But I believe that we ought to have a heart of compassion that tries to understand the struggle. That sin that someone has fallen into, and it may look so foolish to us, and it causes us a lot of work and effort to try to restore. But let's remember, they maybe simply fell where we have stumbled. Or maybe there was a lot of negatives in their life that we were blessed not to have in our lives. Let's have a heart of compassion. The shepherd's heart is a heart of compassion. The shepherd's heart is the heart of an intercessor. Again, we look to Jesus for a perfect example of that. John chapter 17, as he prayed therefore to his heavenly Father before he left this earth. But he says, I pray in verse 9, I pray for them, I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine, and all thine are mine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. I pray for them. Hebrews 7:25 says that he ever liveth to make intercession for us. The heart of an intercessor. One who, in a sense, stands between the sheep and the good shepherd. And pleads for the sheep. You know, God said that he wondered that he couldn't find an intercessor for his people. That was back there in the Old Testament. Do we lift up our people to the throne of grace as we understand their struggles, their needs, their failures? The heart of the shepherd will intercede for them. We won't take time to turn to it, but if you just go through some of the epistles, probably most of the epistles that Paul wrote, at least to churches, and how he talked, and how at the beginning of the different of those epistles, he talks how he prayed for them. They're always in his prayers. Will the Lord find that in you and me as one who stands in the gap and intercedes? It's the heart of a shepherd. Number 6, the heart of the shepherd is a heart to know the sheep. Jesus said, I know my sheep and have known of mine. A shepherd should desire to know what is in the heart of his sheep, what they're struggling with. And I know for myself, it's easy to want to kind of avoid that, because you know, when we help someone, if we know of a need, it really, we have to give up something of ourselves to enter into that need. And we tend to shy away from that. At the heart of the shepherd is to know the sheep. Paul, I believe, had that attitude in Philippians 1:27. This would maybe be just one illustration or example. He says, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, so whether I come and see you, or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. So, whether he, could we say maybe just hearsay, or whether he came, he had a concern for them. He wanted to know how they were doing, and I believe in another place, didn't he send one of, was it Epaphroditus, or someone he sent, so that he might know how the church was doing. A heart to know the sheep. The heart of the shepherd is to feed the sheep. In Matthew chapter 5, one scripture came to my mind. There where Jesus saw the multitudes, and he sat down and he taught them. And he preached that greatest sermon that this world has ever heard, the Sermon on the Mount. But he saw the multitudes, and he sat down and he took the time to preach to them. He was concerned about feeding the sheep. He knew what he had to give them would meet their needs. It is the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. And I think then, as Jesus was commissioning his followers after his resurrection, and he met those disciples down there on the seashore, and they were out in a boat fishing. Peter had said, I'd go a-fishing. Things looked hopeless. Just as well go back to what we were doing. But as Peter came up there, and Jesus challenged him, he said, Peter, do you love me more than these? And I'm not sure. I think that could be taken different ways. Was he saying, do you love me more than the rest of the disciples? Or was he saying, do you love me more than this net full of fishes? And Peter said, you know I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. And twice more, Jesus asked him, do you love me? And Peter said, yes. He said, feed my sheep. Jesus was concerned that they would be, the sheep would be fed. It's the heart of a shepherd. He wants to see their needs met. We see that in the 23rd Psalm there. He leadeth me beside the still, he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. How does it say there? Beside, in green pastures, beside the still waters. That's what the shepherd wants. He wants the sheep to flourish. He wants them to grow. He wants their needs to be met. And for us today, the message that we have to preach is the Word of God, the Word that meets the needs. And was it Paul that said, we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord? We don't preach about current events. We don't preach man's ideas. We preach that which meets the needs of the sheep. That should be our burden. It's our calling. It's the heart of the shepherd to feed. Number 8, the heart of the shepherd is to protect. We see that in John chapter 10 there. You know, the hireling, the one that's just in it for himself. Maybe it's just for the prestige. And I realize we don't have salaried ministry, but maybe it's for those who are looking just for the paycheck or the easy life living in the parsonage. But I believe it can come closer home to that than that. Maybe it's just kind of for what we can get out of it. But when they see the wolf coming, they're out of there. There's no spirit of sacrifice. There's no care for the sheep. They're only there for what they want. What's in it for them? But the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. He stands between the sheep and the danger. He protects the sheep. He's concerned that the sheep will not be scattered. And so, he's alert. He's the watchman on the wall. And he's there to protect the sheep. We heard some of that this morning. Reprove, rebuke, exhort. Give warning. It's the heart of the shepherd. Number 9, the heart of the shepherd is to seek the erring. We have that beautiful picture in Luke chapter 15. It's the heart of the shepherd, and we can certainly see it here. Luke 15, verse 4, "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost." The heart of the shepherd, another song based on this that comes to my mind just now. But the people are asking the shepherd, they said, "Well, you got 99 here. Aren't they enough for you?" But the shepherd made answer, "This of mine has wandered away." It's the heart of the shepherd. We need to bring this to a close here. Turn to Ezekiel 34:6. You can look at that. Speaks about shepherds there. Number 10, the heart of the shepherd is a heart to see the sheep reach the goal. Jesus came to this world to seek and to save that which was lost. And in John chapter 14, as those sheep that he was leaving behind were troubled about what he was saying about leaving them, but he said, "I'm going to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare this place, I'm going to come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." The heart of the shepherd is to see the sheep faithful to the end. Paul's desire and his prayer was to present every man perfect in Christ. First Thessalonians 2:3-5 all expresses Paul's heart. He says, "Are ye not our joy in the presence of Christ?" That's a thought there. 1 Thessalonians 2:19-20. But it's the heart of the shepherd. It's worth the sacrifice. It's worth the effort. We can only do imperfectly what the good shepherd does perfectly. But the under shepherd realizes that there is an accountability. And I believe Paul sensed that as he had that goal to present everyone perfect in Christ. Jeremiah 13:20. There's just a thought here as we think of accountability for the flock. He says, "Lift up your eyes and behold them that come from the north. Where is the flock that was given thee, thy beautiful flock? May we, with clear hand, clear conscience, clean hands, stand before the Good Shepherd and say, by His grace we have discharged our duties faithfully. The heart of the Shepherd, what a challenge. May God help us.